Evening, one and all. Yes, Wednesday, I know, halfway through another week, and this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. One of the things that always amazes me, and in the sort of 4 or 5 years I've been doing these shows, well over 1,000 now, is how these shows link together. I mean, I book these shows, in this case this year, like 6 months in advance, some of the shows. I'm booked up to October, I think. And yet, I just put them down, and yet time after time we get shows that link together. No idea how, no idea why, luck of the draw, you know, or perhaps it's just meant to be that way. But it's very interesting that yesterday we had a lady talking about her book, about being the sort of the replacement child. The issues with a mother after, in her case yesterday, younger sibling had died 2 years previously. And this was, of course, Barbara Jaffe, wasn't it, we were talking to yesterday. And how she was like a replacement, even though she did have an older brother, but the replacement for the child that died. The mother never quite lived up to, you know, replace the child and stuff like that. And if you like, it was a daughter-mother relationship. Well, today we're going to talk about something very similar, but I better introduce my guest first. Because my guest today, she is an award-winning international speaker and author, and she specializes in the field of communication, which relates to behavioral matters. She is the one and only Dr. Janice Hooker-Fortman, or Dr. Jan, as I'm going to call her. Hi, Dr. Jan, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I am a little better each day. People know I've had concussion for about 2 months, over 2 months now, and it's a little bit better each day. I'm managing to do a little bit more work and, you know, going through the day and stuff like that. So day by day, step by step, and I'll get there in the end. That's the important thing. Before we get into your book, and it's a couple of books, in fact, that, I mean, communication, it surprised me when I came over from England to America and went into meetings in America that they were being run totally different to what I'd been work-wise brought up, if you like, in England. Same company and everything like that, but we were encouraged to communicate, encouraged to go to meetings and to have our say in England. And when I first came over, I say first because it has improved, but when I first came over to America and sat in meetings, it was like sitting with a load of nodding donkeys. They never said anything through the meeting, just nodded their head at the manager making statements and stuff like that. And then, of course, as soon as you got out of the meeting, they started going on and moaning and groaning and stuff like that. Whereas I'd been raised to that meetings were there to have communication. Do you think it's something that there has been a lack of that's now sort of developing across the board, not just in work-wise, but a general communication, people almost scared to say things sometimes?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I like to talk about effective communication. I think people do communicate, but they don't communicate as far as what they really think or what they really feel or even know that a lot of times it's not what you say, it's how you look or how you're saying it. And so it's I think people still communicate, but they don't communicate effectively. In other words, you can say something and mean something else. You can say one thing, but your body says something else. So I think that's really what the issue is.
And that's in life as well as in work. And I totally agree with you. You get on some meetings and there's people sort of jumping in and garbling off, you know, jumping off and sort of going off on tangents and stuff like that without sort of a shape in what they're going to communicate. And that's
exactly.
in life as well. You jump in feet first, you know, putting your foot in it, and your mouth runs off before your brain gets into gear. And instead of just, okay, listen to what somebody's going to say, and then when they've finished, then you bring in your communication, your comments, your understanding of what they're saying, and replying almost to what's been said.
And I think people are so busy trying to get what they want to say across that they don't listen. And that's one of the main things, especially in the workplace and especially in meetings. I've been in meetings where someone said something, but someone else is so busy trying to put their point of view in, it ends up the person saying, I just said that.
Right.
But the person who's repeating it is not listening. So that's really a very important part of communication. Yeah. You must listen.
Exactly. That's the first part. Being able to communicate is being able to listen. I think that's really step one, because you're not communicating if you're not listening. You're ordering, or you're the sergeant major running the drill.
Yeah. Yes.
But if you listen, if you comprehend what's being requested or being asked for, and then communicate, I mean, it's my job in a way. I do a lot of this. This is my job. I'm a severe incident manager, which means that if there's an incident happens in IT at work and stuff like that, we jump on, run the call, drive it through fruition, and we have people from. You know, people who answer the telephones to the CEO of a huge medical company come on these calls, and we have to run it, and we have to listen what's being said and drive it.
Yes,
it's a requirement. Yes, you've got to drive it, but you haven't got to dictate it, shall I say?
Yes.
But you get some people come on and they're driving. Yep, yeah, it's this. They did it. No, you can't do that. You can't. You've got to listen what's being said, and then almost pricey and resume, sort of stuff. Drive it through.
Yeah.
And that's in life as well. And this is where. Your new book, we'll talk about your new book first, because I want to talk about your other one as well. This is where your new book, in a way, works, because your new book, The Secrets of How Not to Throw Mama from the Train, love the title.
Thank you.
Goes into that about the relationships and listening and understanding when you get to the stage of perhaps looking after a senior person. I mean, we've had it here in the house with my fiance and I and her parents. I had it with my father and stuff like that. It's very hard, especially for a daughter, I'd have thought.
That adult daughter and aging mother relationship is a very complicated, dynamic relationship. And I like to compare it to a roller coaster, because you have your highs and you have your lows. But what has concerned me and what really motivated me to write the book was that, and I should say I am in that journey where I am an adult daughter and I am taking care of my mom. And I found out that we started having communication problems, communication issues, in that I really wasn't listening to her, and she sometimes really wasn't listening to me. And I like to term it mother talks, daughter hears, or mother or daughter hears, daughter talks, and mother hears. And I can give you an example, very simple example. The mother could say to the daughter, oh, you know, I really like the dress that you have on today. What the daughter might hear is, oh, you didn't like the dress I had on yesterday. But that's not what the mother is saying.
Right.
And another example could be raising children. The mom might say something to the daughter about their son or their daughter and the grandkids, and might say something like, well, why don't you let her drive the car? Or why don't you let her get a driver's license? And the daughter hears, oh, well, Now you don't know. Now you think that I don't know how to raise my child. You know what I mean? And yep. So it's that kind of communication issue, especially between mothers and daughters. It's especially when the mother gets to be a senior citizen and her daughter tries to take care of her, then it's kind of like a turnabout when the daughter starts thinking that, well, I know what's best for my mother. And then you have the mother, the senior, saying, you know, I've lived all these years. I know what's best for me. And it's kind of like a back and forth. And what happens is negative feelings can come about just from not really being able to listen to each other and communicating to each other exactly what you're saying. And when there is a problem as far as misinterpreting what someone says, then it should be talked out. And I think that's a real problem. People, especially mothers and daughters, going away angry.
Right.
Just misunderstanding.
Yeah, a lot of things like that, from what I've seen, it's sort of bottled up as well, you know, and they're, but in both cases, they've lost some freedom.
Yes.
And I wouldn't say resentful, but there's still that sort of, you know, tang at the back of the mouth about that sort of thing. And as you say, it's, okay, mum, it's all right, I know, yeah, but we don't do that like that anymore. And the mother's saying, but I've always done it like that. They're not listening to each other. It's a passing comment, and as you say, it can put up fences between them, I guess.
Yes, exactly. And you know, when you think about that adult daughter aging mother relationship, everyone knows someone or some mother and adult daughter and mother who's having issues. If you're not having them yourself, you know someone who's having them. And it's usually, as I said, effective communication and just listening to each other. I have a part of a chapter in my book where it talks about, do you really know who your mother is? Because as daughters, we see our moms from the little girl point of view, that, okay, mom has always taken care of me, and now it's time for me to take care of mom. So I'm going to take care of mom like she took care of me. Whereas when I was a little girl, I really had no say-so about, you know, different decisions. So now that I'm older and I see mom is a senior and she's having difficulties, now I'm going to take care of her like she took care of me.
Right.
In other words, not giving her a voice or giving her a choice of the things that she might want to do, where she might want to be, places she might want to go. And this ends up being challenging as far as that relationship is concerned.
And of course, we've all heard the, you know, when I was young, we didn't do that. Or when I was young, we do that. And yeah, but things have changed. You know, we used to walk to school 3 miles uphill both ways sort of thing. Yeah. and things like that. And you've got to remember that, you know, times have changed, but you've got to understand. I mean, I've had some wonderful people on the show who have learned so much from their mother, who sat down when their mother, you know, when they've been looking after their mother, and they've written, the mother's told them sort of about their life, stuff they didn't know. I've forgotten the lady's name, about her father who went off to war, and her mother had all these letters that she'd written him while he was at war and stuff like that. And she wrote a wonderful, quite good, you know, bestseller book based on this. And she didn't even know about the whole relationship and what had happened and how they met and everything like that. And I think that's a chance when you're in this relationship, if you can listen and communicate, then both people will learn from each other.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Because you find out then how your mom was raised, why she makes certain decisions that she makes, why maybe even why she chose, if she was a working mom, why she chose the kind of work that she was going to do. You really, I really urge adult daughters to really sit down, non-judgmental, and really talk with their moms. And when I say not being judgmental, you know, not raising an eyebrow, because you want your mom to be able to tell you things that will really help you. Because when you know your mom, then you really know yourself.
Right. In your book, The Secrets of How Not to Throw Mama from the Train, and in your seminars you're doing as well, do you give people pointers and things how to work through this relationship?
Oh yes. One of the procedures I like to do, I break them up into small groups. I have adult daughters and then they have their mothers, but I don't put the mom and the daughter in the same group. When I break them into the small groups, each group chooses an issue that one of the moms or one of the daughters is having, and they give the mother or the daughter tips on how can we rectify this situation that's really interfering in our relationship. And one of the examples was the mother was saying that no matter what I tell my daughter, she never does what I suggest. I tell her she should do this, she should do that, and she always does the opposite. You know what they came up with? Something very simple. They told her, stop using the word
tell.
Should.
Oh, should. Right?
Very simple. Stop using the word should.
Just the tell part to me.
You know, yes.
It's not,
yes.
You're not saying, you're ordering.
Yes, that's right. You're still ordering. You're not respecting that she's an adult.
Right.
And what I do, if they really choose to, I follow up with them and I do the one-on-one coaching with them. And this particular woman, about a couple of weeks later, we talked and I said, how is that going? And she said, you know, I really followed what they said, and what I started doing was just offering suggestions like, well, have you thought about this, or have you thought about that? And she said, you know what? Some of those suggestions my daughter would take. And I said, yes, because you're not using the word should. You're not telling her what to do. You're respecting her as an adult. Because your daughter wants to listen to you. She wants to get advice from you. But it turns her off when she feels that you're telling her what to do. And so I was very, very proud of her that she did do that. Now, when I talked to her about a couple of weeks later, which was a month in, she had forgotten everything. And she said, well, we're not getting along, and we live in the same building, and now she's thinking about moving out, and we argue all the time. And I said, why are you arguing? Well, because she should do this, she should do that, I said. And
there
what
you
was
go.
That word?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I said, yes, you need to write that. You need to put that somewhere in front of you.
Right.
And put write should and put a big red diagonal mark through it. Right. So that will remind you not to use that word. And so that's just a one of the simple examples of what we do. But I find that in the workshop, there are other issues that are really more complicated than that come out. But it kind of opens their eyes as far as it's just the way you communicate. Communication is everything.
Right, indeed. And you, from what you're saying, I mean, you're empowering the person to make the choice rather than taking it away. And
Yes.
that's the thing, to share, to suggest is the right thing, really, what you're saying. I mean, it's like in work as well. You know, you come up with, how about if we do this? Can we try a different way? You don't just say, that's it, we're going to do it this way now. I mean,
yes.
it's just going to cause more problems, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And we often caution, especially daughters who feel that way, that their mother is controlling and their mother's trying to tell them what to do. And I let them know, mothers sometimes feel that, especially after the daughter, and I talk about this in my book, after the daughter has a family of her own, moms sometimes feel that they're being abandoned. And often they do pull on their daughter so a little bit more. And a lot of times that comes out as though they're trying to tell them what to do, or they're trying to be a little more controlling. But I let them know, you know, call your mom. Call them once a week. Call them every day, whatever you think would be best for your mother. Just for chit-chat. Just to let her know that she's still important to you. Now, I know a lot of women do that anyway, but you have to kind of take yourself out of your end and put yourself over into your mother's side. And how is she feeling today? How is she feeling about the way that she communicates,
yep.
That we communicate? And listen and pick up signs.
Right. But much of though this book covers the sort of daughter and mother, you've also got another great book about communication issues with people a lot younger.
Oh, yes. The title of that book is The Little Book of Big Behavior Interventions. And this book is about the common misbehaviors of kindergarten through the primary grade students, and the misbehaviors that you see that are common, and just how to intervene so that they won't become a real problem. And it's still, and it really comes down to young children, especially, misbehave in certain ways, and that's the way that they're communicating their feelings. And there are, so I take some of the common misbehaviors that you see, and I let teachers know how you can address these misbehaviors and what's behind those misbehaviors.
Again, it's communication from an early age, you know.
Yes, it's communication.
It is indeed. What sort of, obviously that first book, some great response from it, but what about this, the new book? What sort of response have you had from the new book?
Oh my God, such wonderful response. I can go anywhere and I'll say, you know, people ask me, okay, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm an author and I do motivational speaking. And what is the title of your book? And when I tell them, and I tell them what it's about, I get a, oh my God.
Yep.
That's so needed. Oh my God. I'll either get stories right then and there. Well, let me tell you
yes.
what's going on with me and my mom, or my sister and my mom, or I have a friend. She needs your book. Oh, this is so important. And it's something that's really not discussed a lot.
Yep.
Women will discuss it with their closest friend, but this relationship affects everything. It affects our lives. It affects our relationships, our personal relationships, our professional relationships. This is the first relationship that a daughter has with her mother, and it's a relationship that is from, of course, birth to death. It is a journey. I like to say that the mother-daughter relationship is a journey, not a destination. It's something that you have to travel from birth to death, and each lane that you travel in is a different lane.
And of course, you know, there's no do-overs.
You know, there are no do-overs.
You know, it's no use, you know, after you know your mother's gone to suddenly regret the whole lack of communication you had and things like that. You know, you can't go back and do it again. So it's just very important to have that, you know, communication in those years.
Very, very important. And you know, when I first started doing research, I was surprised that the difficulties in that adult-daughter aging mother relationship is more common than not.
Right, indeed so. I tell you what, it's been absolutely fascinating chatting with you, Dr. Jan, really has, but time is beating us. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so that you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your books.
Well, you can go to my website, and that's www.drjanicespeaks.com. That's drjanicespeaks.com. They can find my book on my website, and they can also find both of my books at amazon.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining. It's been really great having a discussion about this, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to the show are, you know, can relate to a lot of things that have been said. So thank you. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I do hope that they will look at the book and buy the book, and I really want to be of service to women who really want to have a better relationship with their mom.
Indeed so, indeed so. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, there you go. My guest today, Dr. Janice Hooker Fortman. Look out for the Janice Hooker Fortman, because I think there's another Janice Fortman, but look out for that. And two books, a little big book of behavior interventions we're talking about, and then this wonderful book that we've been sharing about throwing your mama under the train, basically about, well, how not to throw mama from the train, basically about the challenges of a relationship between adult daughters and their aging mothers. And it's a big communication thing, not just in that, but it revolves all the way back to kindergarten, as we said, communication right through your work environment. That, but the very important part of learning and how to communicate, two-way communications with an aging parent. Well, that's it. I'll be back on Sunday